with us and welcome again to this Gospel Miracle Hour. We are so pleased you've joined us. God is more interested in you than what you think. He loves you and wants to do a work in your life that no man can do. Amen. I'd like to open and pray, Lord, a prayer. I pray, Lord, that you grant to your servant great boldness this day, Lord, to bring your words, that, Lord, that you would stretch forth your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And all God's children said, Amen. And we'll start off by saying, what is God's nature like? What does he think of you? What is his heart towards you? We go Psalm 121, 1 to 8, and it says this: Shall I look to the mountain gods for help? No, my help is from the Lord, who made the mountains and the heavens too. He will never let me stumble, slip or fall, for he is always watching and never sleeping. The Lord himself is caring for you. He is your defender. He protects you day and night. He keeps you from all evil and preserves your life. He keeps his eye upon you and as you come and go, and always guards you. Well, there we are. See, friends, that God in heaven reminds us that we often look for help in the wrong places. God who made the mountains and the heavens, and he always has his loving eye on you. Thank Jesus for his protection and care. He is always thinking of you. He loves you and he cares for you. Amen. Well, the message today I'd like to bring was, why does God allow evil in this world? I guess that we've all asked that question at some time. Why does God allow evil in this world? The answer is this: freedom of choice. It's God's greatest gift to humans, or the second greatest gift. It's his free choice. We go to Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that today I have set before you life or death, blessing or curse. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your children might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and obey him and to cling to him, for he is your life and the strength of your days. You will be able to live safely in the land the Lord promised your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, what a saying there, friends. The God of the Bible has set before every one of us a free choice that is set before every one of us. Life or death, blessing or curse. God is saying, oh, that you would choose life, that you and your children might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and obey him and hold on to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and to live safely in the land the Lord has promised. Friends, God is really, really extremely good, and he loves you. But he has left the choice up to you to take him as your Lord and Savior. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. We really need a Savior. We see this: sin originated in man, not in God. God presents a sin dominion. It says in Romans 6:14, sin need never again be master, for now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you are free under God's favor and mercy. See, God has at his own cost provided a remedy. Jesus Christ is the only answer to this problem of sin and evil. We see the evil all around us today. He died on the cross and rose from the grave, paying the penalty for our sin and bridging the gap between God and you. We see the problems in the world today, that people are using their own free will to do what they want to do evil. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also suffered. He died once for the sins, for all of us, guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin, at any time, that he may bring us safely home to God. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21, for God was in Christ restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you. We beg you as though Christ himself was pleading with you. Receive the love he offers you. Be reconciled to God, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he pours God's goodness into us. Friends, this is the best news you will ever hear. You are free from sin under God's favor and mercy. We really have something to Yahoo about, amen? Your response, receive Christ. We must trust Jesus Christ and receive him as personal invitation. As the Bible clearly states in John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, is there any good reason why you cannot receive Jesus Christ right now? How to receive Christ and what to pray? Just follow me in this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, if you've just prayed that simple prayer, the Bible is saying, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And God's assurance is the word in the Bible. You have been saved by faith. Receiving Christ, we are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. This is called the new birth. This is the beginning of our new life in Christ. To get to know Christ better, read your Bible every day if possible, starting at Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Talk to God in prayer every day. Tell others about Christ and fellowship with Christ in a church where Christ is preached. Amen. And as Christ's representative in a needy world, demonstrate your new life by your love and concern for others. And God bless you as you do. He will take you places that you never dreamed. Amen. Well, I've got to this part of the message now where I'll be praying for the sick shortly. Visible miracles and physical healings offer a way for Jesus to demonstrate his authority. We look at the cursing of the fig tree. Go to Mark 11:12-20. It says that, and the next day when he came out of Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree afar off, which had leaves, he came to see if perhaps it could find some fruit on it. Then when he came upon it, he found nothing except leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "Nevermore may anyone eat from you." And his disciples were listening. Verse 20, and in the morning when they had passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the tree which you had cursed has become withered." And Jesus says to them, "You must have faith in God. Truly I say to you that whoever would say to this mountain, 'You must immediately be removed, and you must immediately be cast into the sea,' and would not doubt in his heart, but would believe that would be what he was saying, it would happen. It will be to him." So what the scripture is saying, Jesus curses the fig tree, But to the dismay of his disciples, nothing apparently happened to the tree. It looked the same. When they passed by the tree again the next morning, Peter was amazed to find that the tree was withered away. Most importantly, they noticed that it had shriveled from the roots up. When Jesus cursed it, he did not speak to the branches. He talked to the source, the roots. See, friends, cancer starts as a root somewhere. That's why we curse the cancer. Not only me, you hear other people are praying for the sick with cancer. They curse the cancer at the roots. Jesus talked about the mountain. The mountain is the sickness that's on you. That's the mountain. And we command it to loose you. That's why we commanded it. In Mark 16, they shall recover. That's what it says. Jesus said, and they shall recover. Not all healings are instant, like the withered tree. Sometimes it takes time, and it does take time. I notice for a fact it does take time. Right, friends, Jesus Christ of Nazareth personally carried the load of your sins and in his own body, and he died on the cross, and he personally carried your sicknesses, the brokenhearted, and that those who are lame and the blind, the deaf, maimed, those insane and possessed by demons, the disease, the cancers and growths, as the Bible plainly tells us, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That was what I pray every time I open up this message, to destroy the works of the devil. And others would carry on the work he began. Matthew 10, 1, 7 and 8, Jesus gave the authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of sickness and disease. Then he said, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure the lepers, cast out demons, demons of sickness. Give as freely as you have received. The Bible says, I am to announce that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. He said, I'm to announce it, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cure the lepers, and cast out demons. The good news is that healing belongs to us today, because Jesus the healer is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible tells us that. In Matthew 11, 2, 3, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Jesus, he sent his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things which you have, what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Then give him this message. Blessed are those who don't doubt me. See, friends, Jesus, through the works of miracles, he showed his true identity to his disciples and the multitudes, confirming he was who he said he was, the Son of Christ, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, by signs and miracles of healing and deliverances. And Jesus prepares his followers to carry the same kind of ministry, to heal the sick, cast out demons. And in this way, we are following and advancing and demonstrating the kingdom of God. Mark 16, 20. And they went forth and boldly preached with the Lord, working with them and confirming the word with signs following. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Jesus Christ made a promise here that if I preach the gospel of the kingdom, that he would confirm his word with signs following. Signs of healing and miracles. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray, if what I have said is from you, then confirm your word with signs following. Amen. I will start to pray for the sick and hurting now. Place your hand on that part of your body that needs healing. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. I command health to every physical body. I rebuke every form of infirmity. I rebuke every form of disease. I rebuke every cancer in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare that they are cursed at the root. And I command a blessing of divine health freely flows into the lives of these listeners. I command a reconstructive, recreative miracle to take place in the listeners right now. In the name, Lord, I speak life to everyone that's in torment, for your name is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. I give you praise, Father, that the enemy has been defeated and the peace of God is now healed every broken heart. Every sorrow is lifted right now. Every burden and yoke, it is destroyed because you, O Lord, are the joy in the morning. You, O Lord, are more than enough. You, O Lord, are our strength and our song. And we magnify your holy name. I thank you that you are our righteousness. You are our shepherd. You are our divine giver of life. Let the power of this blessing and healing take place in you right now. Well, to keep you healing, don't hold on to any bitterness or be gentle and ready to forgive. Jesus has forgiven you. Live in peace with each other. Jesus told us to live in peace. Rejoice with it. No superstition that only brings bondage. Jesus set you free, now stay free. To keep you healing, just try yourself. Act your faith. Just try moving. Act your faith. You'll find that pains have started to subside. As we read earlier on, they shall recover. They shall get well. The power has flowed in. The Holy Ghost is there now. And test the area to see if it has improved. And know that it is God's will for you to be healed. Do not let fear come upon you. We read that every time. 365 times the Bible states, fear not. It always distorts the truth. God has not given us spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Well, we would love to hear from you if you've received Jesus as your Lord or received your healing. We'd love to hear and rejoice with you. So my prayer for you is this, and now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may the Lord be gracious unto you and give you his peace. May your sins be forgiven. May your sicknesses be healed. May your brokenness and grief be carried away. May you celebrate the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And know the peace of God in the worst of times. Because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the master of the winds and the waves. In Jesus' name, receive this blessing. Shalom. Amen. I serve.